going to be in John chapter 16 tonight, reading five verses in John chapter 16. But before we read our text, let me give you a little background. Jesus had just observed Passover with his apostles. It was the final Passover. It was the Lord's Supper. They didn't know that. And that came to light with me in a lesson I taught recently. You know, when Jesus sent his apostles in to set up for the final Passover, they were excited. They were observing another religious Jewish feast commemorating the Exodus out of Egypt, and they were excited about this. They had no idea that this would be the final Passover that they would celebrate with their rabbi, with their teacher, with their master. But it was, and just shortly things were going to change drastically. He had spoken to them of Judas's betrayal. Jesus had foretold of Peter's denial. And then he had given them a final commandment to love one another as I have loved you. Then he had spoken two of the most probably profound and theologically significant texts in the book of John, that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And then the passage about how he was the vine and we are his branches. And then he begins to teach them of coming increased persecution and hatred by the world. And that's where we pick up in John chapter 16. Would you all stand as we read these five verses? John chapter 16, beginning in verse number 1. Jesus said, "I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think that he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I've said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I didn't say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you." Then down in verse 33. "I said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you so much again for the opportunity to be here tonight and to worship you in song, Father, and to open your word and to attempt to preach your word, Father. And I pray that you would bless the reading of it. And I pray that you would speak through me, Father, your words and your words only, that we might be encouraged tonight, and that our faith might be strengthened by what we experience here because of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. So Jesus was forewarning them of what was to come, and they had no idea, but even that night, it would all begin. They had experienced resistance, at least in some ways, as Jesus had gone around teaching. Remember, these men and several ladies have been following Jesus around now for 3 years. And they had experienced the resistance of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin and how they had tried to trap Jesus. And they had experienced resistance from demons. But Jesus was with them. He had been with them through all these things. And what he was telling them now in chapter 16 in the book of John is that he was fixing to leave. And there was a great tribulation coming that was going to scatter them. And that their safety would be removed, at least for a short time. It was going to be dangerous for them. Satan would think he had won. In just a couple of days, Satan was going to think he had won. And the apostles, by and large, thought Satan had won as well. For at least a couple of days, they had went into hiding, scared, not knowing what was coming, not knowing where to turn. Their master was gone. They had no idea what to do now. Jesus had been there and had told them everything to do all along the way. And now all of a sudden Jesus was gone and they were worried and they were scared. And so before that happened, he warned them tribulation was coming. Their world was about to be crushed and Jesus wanted them to not panic. So I was thinking for the last couple of weeks, I've been thinking about being steadfast. The word steadfast, the word resolute, the word determined, it's kind of been running through my mind for a while. And the reason is because so many things in our world are changing. And they're changing so rapidly. So how do we remain steadfast in our faith when the world is changing so rapidly? I understand worldviews have always been counterculture to church views, to Christian views. They've been contradictory even. But that slope, my goodness, seems to just every day be steeper and steeper and steeper. No longer do people respect the church or respect a pastor. Just because you go to church means nothing to the world. Because you're a pastor, that means nothing. And you know, I try all the time. I go in and try to buy things, and they'll say, "Are you military?" And I'll say, "No, but I'm a pastor." As a joke. They won't give me a discount because I'm a pastor. Lowe's asks me every time, "Are you military? You get a discount." "No, but I'm a pastor." "Well, that doesn't mean anything." But that's a joke. But that's how the world views the church and views pastors. Sins that 30 years ago we would have never even considered discussing aloud are now celebrated. In cities and towns, in the media, on college campuses. Brother Kelly was sharing with me, he had a week or so ago on Tech campus, he had a booth set up advertising V Ministry and all the other student organizations and college organizations were there on campus. And he said it seemed like the largest table there was the LGBTQ+IA table. And it kind of breaks my heart. It worries me. I have a son who just started Tech, and I'm very proud of him. So far, he's been in it for a week, and he's done great. But I'm worried. I'm worried about what he will experience. And then about a year and a half ago, Satan came in and sucker punched the church with COVID and knocked us down. And many people who were once very faithful attenders have remained down on that mat and they refuse to try to get up. They've tapped out. I'm out. Our freedoms are seemingly being mandated out from under us for our own good. Because we don't know what's good for us, but our government does. Jobs are being lost because of differing views on medicines. I have two members of my class that have told me that if they did not get the COVID shot, I'm neither for or against the COVID shot. I think it should be a personal preference. But if they did not receive that, within the next couple of weeks, they would have to be looking for work. They were going to be fired. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. And people who we once called friends have become estranged or sometimes even hostile because we have differing views. And we sometimes have become hostile back. It breaks my heart. But all of these things, so much is changing. And it's interesting, as I was reading this passage, it occurred to me it was very similar 2,000 years ago. For the apostles, put yourself in their shoes. Things were changing. These were Jesus' most faithful followers. Jesus had come into their lives. They were just normal people living normal lives. Some of them making a good living, some of them barely scraping by. And Jesus had come into their lives and said, "Come and follow me." And He turned their lives upside down. And they followed Him. And for 3 years, they were amazed and astounded by the greatness of our God and the Messiah who they firmly believed was with them. And now Jesus was about to leave them and their lives are going to be turned upside down again. And we're in a similar situation. So I wanted to tonight very quickly just give you a few lessons from this that hopefully will encourage you in these crazy days that we are living in. And the first one is this: Jesus already knew what was going to happen and He gave them a warning. He knew what was going to happen that very night. It often comes as a shock to us that the gospel that we preach, a gospel of love and forgiveness, is hated so passionately. And I still, I can't fathom that. I don't understand. I remember my first experience with this. I was raised in a very small town. Everybody knew everybody. And everyone that I knew went to church. And everybody liked going to church. At least I thought they did. And I moved away from Des Arc, Arkansas, and met people who didn't go to church. When I went to college, it was the first time I had ever met anyone who didn't go to church. It rocked my world. And not only did they not go, they didn't believe in God. I couldn't understand that. It made sense to me. How could you not believe in God? How could you not want to go to church? Imagine the shock these apostles were about to experience when their master left them. Remember, they were 10 feet tall and bulletproof when he was with them. Nothing bad could happen. They would try to capture Jesus, and the scripture says he would just disappear from their midst, or he would slip away because it wasn't yet his time. But now his time had come. And their world was going to be rocked. And so Jesus forewarned them. The scripture says in the ESV translation, and I use that one tonight for this one verse, Jesus warned them to keep them from falling away. A lot of translations say to keep you from stumbling, but I like the words to keep you from falling away. That's a very accurate translation. He wanted to keep them from falling away. And so I was thinking again about our life. And you know what? Jesus warned us similarly to keep us from falling away and to encourage us. I don't want you to turn there. I want you to listen. Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through 12. Jesus was speaking. Just listen. And Jesus said, "In those days you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, perhaps like Afghanistan. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. The end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, perhaps like the nations of Islam and the rest of the world. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places, perhaps like the one that just hit Haiti. And all these are but the beginning of birth pains. And then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake, perhaps like the pastors that are being killed right now in Afghanistan. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, perhaps like what has happened now with this virus. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold." If he's not talking about today, when is he talking about? Right? Jesus knew, and he warned us. Now, to think about these things, it is worrisome and a little bit scary, but it's also very encouraging. Because Jesus said, these things must happen. Before I return, these things must happen. I love a quote by Adrian Rogers, and Brother Doug referenced something similar a couple of weeks ago. "Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God?" God already knew.
Amen.
God already knew, and He warned. He warned them. He's warned us. God knew COVID was going to hit. It didn't surprise Him. It knocked us off our feet. And still is, by and large. But it didn't surprise God. He knew. He already saw the end as He was looking at the situation. So take courage. Jesus already knew. Second thing I want to talk to you about tonight is we must hold tight to our faith because tribulation is sure. If you look in verse number 4 of our text, He said, "I say these things to you that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you." The foundations of our faith. "I told them to you." And then down in verse 33, He said, "In me you may have peace, but in the world you're going to have tribulation." Tribulation is sure. It's going to come. It's always going to come. It's always been going to come. There's a false idea that if we stay close to Jesus, tribulation will touch us. Where is that found in Scripture? It's not there. As a matter of fact, Scripture is contradictory to that. The closer you are to Jesus, the more likely you're going to face tribulation, and the more severe your tribulation is going to be. Why would Satan bother messing with people who don't love Jesus? He already won. Or Christians who are backslidden and couldn't give a flying rip about church. He doesn't have to mess with them. He's already won. So who does He mess with? Those who try to remain faithful. Tribulation is sure, and it is even more sure because we cling to Jesus. There is a great theologian, his name's Alexander McLaren, and he wrote these words, "The world conquers me when it comes between me and God, when it fills my desires, when it absorbs my energies, and when it blinds my eyes to the things unseen and eternal." And that's exactly what's going on right now. The world is conquering us. The world is conquering Christians by absorbing our energies and blinding our eyes to things that are eternal. By consuming us with the physical and what's going on right around us, we're missing the big picture. We're missing the forest for the trees. And the forest is that heaven is near. And we need to be ready and getting our house in order and getting those around us on that good old gospel ship so we can take them with us. Amen? That's right. That's right. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 10 that I just read, Jesus said, "And in that day many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another." And so many people have seemingly fallen from their faith or have just let it go. They've just let it go. We went to church camp this past summer with the teenagers, and the first night we were all circled up in a group. I looked at this group of young men and young ladies that I was with, and God just burdened my heart really strongly at that moment. Who's next? Who's going to follow up me and Brother Doug? Who's the 20-year-olds that are going to take up the mantle to share the faith? Man, it's sad to me that in Gen Xers and in millennials, faith is non-existent in a lot of them. They don't care. Or they don't act like they do. And it really bothers me. But when things are going the most crazy around us, we must focus on our faith and on its foundations, else we become consumed and overwhelmed. So if you are feeling consumed and overwhelmed, how do you fix that? You focus on your faith and you focus on the foundation of your faith. You focus on the rock that your foundation is supposed to be built upon. You focus on Jesus Christ. The good news is that foundation is sure. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 47, Jesus said, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man who built a house, who dug a deep foundation and laid his foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose, when the tribulation came, the stream hit the house and couldn't shake it because it had been well built. It was on the rock." Our foundation is as sure as the tribulation we will face. There is no tribulation that will shake the foundation of Jesus Christ. Take heart, church. Take heart. Smile because your God is in control and because He knows what's coming. He knows where you're at and He's already walked through it. He's just waiting for you to catch up. Amen. I like thinking about that. God isn't bound by time. He's already on the other side of this issue I'm going through. There is a new social gospel that is being preached, but there's really no new gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. And so many people are focused on so many good things. Social issues are good things. Feeding the hungry is a good thing. Caring for the needy is a good thing. Sending money to the other side of the world to help those people, it's a good thing. But nothing trumps the gospel. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By grace you have been saved. Nothing trumps that. While we were dead in our sins, Christ died for the ungodly. So, number one, Jesus already knew. Take heart there. Number two, we must hold tightly to our faith. And then finally, number three, we can have peace during our tribulation because Jesus has overcome the world. I love this verse. It is a highly quoted verse for good reason. But I was reading it again and I thought it was interesting. The thought occurred to me, Jesus did not say, "I will overcome the world." Where was Jesus at when he was saying this verse? He was still up in the upper room. He was at the Passover. He was teaching them this and he said, "I have overcome the world." He hadn't been drug out yet. He hadn't been beaten. He hadn't had that crown put on his head. He hadn't been crucified and put in a grave. He certainly hadn't risen from the dead yet, but it had already happened. It was as good as done. He had already won. Jesus had won. He just hadn't got there yet. But He'd already won. We can have peace because Jesus has overcome the world. It was a done deal. And in Christ, it's a done deal for you too. Jesus has already won, and if you are a Christ follower, if you are a child of the King, a son or a daughter of the King, you've already won too. You've already walked through this tribulation. You're already on the other side. Your body's just got to catch up with where your soul already is sealed. Amen. That ought to encourage you. That ought to encourage you. Jesus didn't tell them that they would overcome, but that He had already overcome. His victory was their victory, and it is also our victory. And we must remember that our victory is accomplished. The battle we face is raging, yes. But the victory is assured. It's done. It's already been won. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says this. John wrote, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our faith is the victory. Our faith in Christ is the victory. Not our faith in ourselves, not our faith in the government, not our faith in some medical procedure, not our faith in anything else but Christ. That's the victory. That's what overcomes the world. We got to remember that. Sure, there are going to be dark days. But the light of the world at the end of the tunnel is quickly approaching. The light of the world at the end of the tunnel is quickly approaching. Are you ready? Are you ready? Our faith is in Him and it seals the victory. There's this new song that says, "I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to You, Lord." I love that song. We need to do that one, Brother Dale. I like that one. It's a great chorus. Satan is saying, "Shut up and sit down." But we need to be singing, "I'm going to see a victory, for the battle belongs to You, Lord." And Satan says, "Shut up, Weatherford," and I'm just going to keep singing, "I'm going to see a victory, I'm going to see a victory, for the battle belongs to You, Lord." Are you ready tonight? Are you ready to see a victory? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, it is so simple. A 6-year-old child can do it. All you have to do is understand that you are a sinner, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He died, and His death can pay for your sins. You put your faith and your trust in Him, asking Him to save you and forgive you. That's it. It's very, very simple. But I dare say most of you are saved tonight. And if you are, lift up your head, people, and learn the song. For Jesus has already won the battle. Quit being disheartened. Quit walking through this world with a long face. I know we've lost people to COVID. I know COVID is real. There have been family members in this church who have lost one another. I understand that. And I feel that pain. But if that family member knows Jesus Christ, they are so much better off than you are.
Amen.
Please don't forget that. Please don't forget that. Let's all stand. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You so much for Your Word that we were able to read tonight. Father, and I pray that the Word that was read and spoken, Father, would be an encouragement tonight. Father, I pray that we would be able to lift our hearts and our hands and our heads up to You, Father, saying and proclaiming that the battle is Yours. It's already won. And telling Satan to shut up and sit down. It's time for us to put the shoe on the other foot. Father, please help us to do that and to remember who You are and who we are as Your children. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, may tonight they come and change their destiny for eternity, forever. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.